Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. And as you turn there, again, this whole idea of the chessboard and how a little bit can multiply out of control so fast. If you have a sermon outline, you'll notice this week, last week we talked about Esau, Mr. Impulse, Mr. Immediate Gratification. Now we want to talk this week about Cain. Cain and Abel. Cain was the firstborn child of Adam and Eve. We don't know whether Abel was the second because Adam and Eve had many children, but we are going to learn about Cain and Abel this morning. And really, it's part of our series on memorable scenes from Old Testament lives. There are three words. This series of sermons looks into the lives of several Old Testament believers, men and women whose lives serve as examples of three things, and they all start with F. Men and women whose lives serve as examples of three things, and they all start with F. The first one is that they are examples of faith. They are examples of failure. And they are examples of forgiveness. All three are so important for us that we need to understand that God uses perfect people. And the people in the Bible are people just like you and me. We have a habit of elevating people way beyond where they should be. And in reality, the people that we're going to look at in this series, they demonstrate faith as God tests them. They illustrate failure because there is a constant struggle between doing what's right, doing what God wants, but best of all, they're tremendous illustrations of forgiveness. That God continually says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. God continually says, my love endures forever. God continually says, I give second chances. I give third chances. I give fourth chances. God just keeps working through the failure and says, Mike, it's okay. But in your life, you need to understand that there are three things that are going on. Two of them are tremendous. One of them can be very defeating. And unless you get it in the proper perspective, how important is faith? Very. How important is forgiveness? Very. And unless you sandwich failure in between great faith and greater forgiveness, unless you put failure in its proper perspective, a lot of times you will end up feeling defeated. You'll end up feeling like, what's the use? You'll be defeated. You'll feel like a failure. You'll end up saying to yourself, hey, am I the only one that struggles? And that's why this series is so valuable. Faith, and remember, it's not the size, but the genuineness of your faith. Failure, because we will fail, but great, great, unending forgiveness. So let's keep moving. The key to successful living. All through this series, we're going to realize the key to successful living is what? God's way and God's will. The key to successful living, God's way and God's will. That's why we're in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, he simply says this, and you will see this illustrated in every person we're going to look at. Notice what it says. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. So when we look at some of these Old Testament characters, we're going to see people who do trust in God with all their heart. But guess what else we're going to look at? We're going to look at people who say, no, I want to do it not God's way, I want to do it whose way? I want to do it my way. Okay, we call that Frank Sinatra faith. All right? Okay? So for those of you who don't understand, what song did Frank Sinatra sing? I did it my way. We can call it Burger King faith. What's the motto of Burger King? Have it your way. Instead, though, we want to have Jesus' faith because it was in the garden that Jesus said, not my will, but your will be done. So, I like Frank Sinatra. I love Burger King. But I want to be like Christ. And that's where we want to be. God's will. So trust in the Lord with all your heart. and lean not on your own understanding. Again, this idea of faith, living by faith, not by sight, is going to come up in these studies. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. There are going to be times where we see people who kind of do what God wants, and then they stop doing what God wants, and then they start doing what God wants, and they're just, their lives are a mess. And how many of us are like that? Where we have good days and bad days, we have days where we genuinely trust God, we have days where we genuinely disobey God, and we can't understand why we are on this roller coaster existence. It's because in all your ways you need to acknowledge Him, and the result is that God will make your path straight. God will lead, God will guide, God will look after you. He still will test you. He still will want you to be stronger in your faith than you are now. But the key is this. Successful living comes when we seek God's way and God's will. So let's look at Cain. Here we go. First of all, week one. Week one, when we looked at Esau, the danger of what kind of, the danger of an I want it when? Now. That's week one. The danger of an I want it now faith. Living by impulse, living by immediate gratification, saying to yourself, I know what I should do, but I can't wait. Or I know what I shouldn't do, but I can't stop. This week, though, we want to talk about the danger of, and what's it say there? The danger of a, I can fake it, worship. This is very dangerous. We're on really, really, really dangerous territory. We're in quicksand this morning, this topic. Because the problem with wanting it now is you see immediately what happens. This morning's message, the reason it is such a dangerous topic is that quite often we start to fake it, but things don't get out of control until much later on down the road. We start to fake it and we fool people for a while. And so the first week it was, I did it, now I got to live with it. This week it's, I'm going to fake it, and I hope nobody finds out. But guess what? You're on dangerous, dangerous ground. So here we go. We're going to talk about Cain. Adam and Eve, first man and woman created. They have a son by the name of Cain. Sometimes people say, well, Mike, how did so many people get in the world? Well, Adam and Eve, Adam lived to be 800 years old. Adam lived in a time where basically, even though there was now sin in the world because they had fallen, he was a very virile, healthy person. Eve, a very virile, healthy woman. How many children, theoretically, could a man and woman have over 800 years? When Adam was created, he was created as a mature person. Adam and Eve were mature adults. And so how many children could you have over 800 years? And all the women are going, yeah. Let's say over 800 years that they have just, well 800, but I'm going to say 10. Let's say that they just have 10 children, 5 boys and 5 girls, and they each marry each other, because we do know that marriage from the beginning was one man married to one woman. Well, they have 10 children, and those children marry each other. So that's now 5 couples, and so those 5 couples each have 10 children, and now you have how many? And you look at the illustration of the grain of sand, and Adam and Eve would have had many, or a grain of wheat. But the thing is this, you think over 800 years, and all of a sudden now you have, first of all, you have brothers and sisters marrying each other, which God said was not wrong until the Mosaic Law, given thousands of years later. And then pretty soon you have cousins who are able to marry, and then you have all these different combinations, but you have everything working out. And don't get caught up on that. Get caught up in this. 1 grain of wheat, 2 grains of wheat, 4 grains of wheat. Think of it in terms of children. 1 grain child. But you start to look at it, and Adam and Eve, suddenly they have several children and several and several and so on. And some of them begin to move away. all of a sudden you see the world starting to grow and grow and grow. And so you have this thing about Cain, where Adam and Eve have many children, but there are two that Scripture focuses on. Now, what can we say about Cain? I always love, first of all, to look at what the New Testament says about a person. Quite often, the writers of the New Testament give light on people in the Old Testament that we just don't have. Three times, Cain is mentioned in the New Testament. Jude 1 and verse 11, 1 John chapter 3, verse 12, and Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. Before we go to Genesis chapter 4, let's just take a look at this. Let's see what the New Testament says, because it will shed light on what we want to say from Genesis 4. But Jude 1:11. Notice this. There's only one chapter in the book of Jude, right before the book of Revelation, so the second last book of the New Testament. Notice this. Jude verse 11. He's talking about false teachers. And he says this, "Woe to them, they have taken the way of Cain." And so beside Jude 1:11, if you want to put something in your notes, put down this statement, "the way of Cain." False teachers are described as taking the way of Cain. This idea, and they are described as people who are rebellious, people who fight against God. So there's this thing called the way of Cain. And so the New Testament, does it use Cain as a positive example or a negative? Negative. Don't be like Cain, it says. This whole path of rebellion, and God, I'll do what I want, when I want, how I want. And then 1 John chapter 3, verse 12. Move a little bit further ahead of Jude, and you have 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. And in 1 John chapter 3, verse 12, notice this. 1 John 3, verse 12. Do not be like Cain. And in other words, is Cain a good example or a bad example? He's a bad example. Do not be like Cain. Now notice this, do not be like Cain who belonged to the evil one. If you want to put something down here, put down his actions were evil. If you want to put down something else, notice this, that when you choose to live contrary to what God desires, then you actually become part, not of the dominion and kingdom of God, but it says here in 1 John 3, do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one. You now suddenly, even if you're a believer, when you suddenly start to do what you want instead of what God wants, you are demonstrating that you have a greater love for the things of Satan than the things of God. Isn't that scary sounding? So notice this, he belonged to the evil one, he murdered his brother, and why did he murder him? So we know that Cain murdered his brother, and why? Notice this, because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. See, very important to look at this verse before we go into Genesis 4, because there's all kinds of speculation as to what is happening, but the bottom line is this, whatever Cain was doing was evil. Whatever his brother was doing was righteous. He was doing it the right way. Abel was doing it correctly. Cain was faking it. His intention was evil. He wanted the results, but he didn't want to have the right attitude. And so his actions were evil, and his brothers were righteous. And then Hebrews 11:4. One more before we go to Genesis 4. One more place that mentions Cain, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. Notice this. Key word. Three key words. Not by faith. If you want to write something down besides Hebrews 11:4, put not by faith. Because notice this. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, speaking of Cain's brother Abel, the first two words of Hebrews 11, verse 4 in the NIV are by what? Faith. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice. What made it better was that it was offered in faith. Don't get caught up in animal versus grain. Don't get caught up in blood versus no blood. The bottom line, what made Abel's sacrifice acceptable was that it was offered by faith. He did it to please God. He did it from the right attitude. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. God spoke well of what he did. And by faith, he still speaks even though he is dead. In other words, learn from Cain and Abel. So that's what the New Testament says. What does Genesis 4 say? Let's go there. Genesis chapter 4. So look up here for a sec. Last week we talked about the danger of I want it now. This week we're talking about the danger of what kind of worship? I can fake it. Worship. Living a life where inside we know what's really going on, but we're just faking it. So Genesis chapter 4, what do we learn about worship from the heart? As opposed to worship where we're faking it. Genesis chapter 4, notice this. Here we go. Okay? You don't want to fake it. You want to be genuine. You want God to be able to work in your life. You want to admit that even though you may not have a lot of faith and even though you have failure, you want to be a person who seeks constantly God's forgiveness. Well, notice this. Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. Adam lay with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." Later she gave birth. Later. That's all it says, verse 2. And this is how we really don't know. It's so easy to say that it was an apple in the Garden of Eden. But guess what? It doesn't say. It's so easy to say that it was a snake in the Garden of Eden. But it doesn't say. It says that it was a fruit that Adam and Eve ate. Not an apple. It says that that Satan disguised himself as a serpent. It doesn't say snake. It's so easy to say all kinds of things that aren't there. And so notice this. All it says in verse 2 is, later she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now, continuing verse 2. Abel kept flocks. This is Genesis chapter 4. Abel kept flocks and Cain worked the soil. Is there anything wrong with that? What did Adam do for a living? He tilled, he looked after the garden of God. He was a man of the soil. Nothing is said that one is right and one is wrong. Abel kept flocks, Cain worked the soil. Were both necessary? Yes. In the course of time. In other words, time has passed. God has probably been in communion with them. This idea of what is acceptable and how to have a right relationship with God has been expressed because God never ever just leaves us hanging. Are you aware of the verse in Romans where it says faith comes by hearing and hearing from the Word of God? This idea of God never leaves you in a vacuum so that you can make up your own religion. He always says, this is how I want it. So in the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. Now on the surface, when you look at the text there in Genesis, on the surface, is there anything wrong with that? No. Think of all the different offerings there are in the Bible. In the Old Testament, yes, there were blood sacrifices, but there are also grain sacrifices and wine sacrifices. There are all kinds of sacrifices. So all we know is that Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. So there's a contrast here. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. See, it's right here that we have to go back to Hebrews chapter 11. And we have to go to 1 John chapter 3. And we have to realize that Abel offered his sacrifice with what? Faith. We have to look at what 1 John 3 says about Cain and learn that right from the beginning, his actions were what? Evil. Now, there's a ton of speculation. All kinds of people have written all kinds of stuff that is not here in the text. One of the examples is, well, Cain was supposed to go to his brother and buy meat with the grain and then sacrifice. It doesn't say that. The whole bottom line is this. You are you. God has given you a path that you are to take. Are you supposed to live your life the way I live mine? Like, are you supposed to all of a sudden leave here and say, I've got to become a pastor? Are you supposed to leave this place and all of a sudden say, well, I better be a nurse if I'm going to make God happy? God has made you as an individual. God's will for your life is not the same. There are common elements. And one of the greatest common elements, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, you have to come to God in what? Faith. You have to accept Christ as your Savior. And so when we look at this, notice this. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. And so number one, this is the big, big principle. Worship from the heart always involves what? Faith. It has to. It always involves faith. Let's go back just before. If you keep your finger in Genesis 4 for a sec, but let's go back to Hebrews chapter 11. It's very interesting how the writers of Scripture write. They don't do it by accident. They do it under the guidance of God. By faith, Hebrews 11, verse 4, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man. By faith, he still speaks. Verse 6, talking about Enoch. By faith, Enoch, moving on to another person. But go to verse 6. Notice this. How does verse 6 begin? And without what? Without faith, it is, what's the next word? Impossible. How important is faith if you want to genuinely worship God? How important is it for you to place your trust in God and say, God, this is what faith is. Faith is implicit trust in what God says and who God is. God, you have said that if I'm going to get to heaven, I have to receive Christ as my Savior. And so faith is believing that what God has said about salvation is true. God, by faith, you have told me that if I want to live a happy life, a blessed life, I need to separate myself from things that are unhealthy for me, and I need to live a life of purity and holiness. By faith, you accept that as true. The big problem is we live in a world where there are a million people saying you don't need Christ to get to heaven. We live in an area where there are millions of people saying, why would you want to live that way? That's so unfun. Why not live for, enjoy life? But the thing is, if you want to please God, you have to trust God. And notice verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to God must believe that He is, that He exists, and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. You have to begin with faith. The problem with Cain and Abel was that they both offered sacrifices, but we know from Hebrews 11 that Abel offered his with faith, Cain did not. We know that Abel's actions were righteous, but we know that Cain's actions were evil. He was trying to fake it. He was just trying to kind of get in. And so number one, true worship from the heart always involves what? Faith. Number two, true worship from the heart always, and notice this next one, responds to God's discipline. That word discipline is a scary word. Let me just ask you, look up here for a sec. When I say the word discipline, do you think positive or do you think negative? Okay, our culture, we always think negative. But discipline can be a good thing as well. Because the purpose of discipline, especially God's discipline, the purpose of God's discipline is to make us more like Christ. Is that a good thing? And so if God kind of has to, if I'm going in this direction and God has to kind of squeeze me over this way, even though I'm trying to walk backwards and God's pushing me this way, even though I don't like it, it really is meant to be positive. It's meant to move me. And again, in parenting, without getting on a big bunny trail, one of the big things in parenting is you have to learn how to do positive discipline and negative discipline. Positive discipline builds character. Positive discipline is when you see your child doing something right and you what? You praise them. Too many parents only talk to their kids when they're doing something wrong. That simply builds external behavior. Positive discipline is when we see our children doing something right and we praise them. Or we say to our children, tell you what, we're going to the mall, and if you are good, at the end, I will buy you a treat. A lot of people say, but Mike, isn't that a bribe? No. A bribe is when your child is in the middle of the grocery store kicking and screaming their feet, and you're trying to get them to change their behavior by saying, if you stop now, I'll buy you whatever you want. That's a bribe. A reward is when your child is in good behavior, and you say, if you behave the way you know you should, I will buy you ice cream afterwards. That's a reward. That builds character. One of the big things, let me just say this, one of the big things in the early years of parenting is whatever you do, you have to make it your decision that you are raising children first and everything else second. If you go to the grocery store with your child, you are going to the grocery store first and foremost to do what? Raise your child. Which means that you may have to embarrass yourself by walking up to a store employee with a cart that's half full of food and saying, I'm sorry, but I have to leave, because you need to take your child out of that store right now, because you're making a point that you misbehave. I'm not going to be a repeating parent where please stop, please, please, please stop. You're not going to be an empty threatening parent where, oh, you wait, I'm going to do something when you get home, when you get home. Kids forget. Their attention span is about 1 minute per year. But everything you do, so a four-year-old, how long is their attention span? 4 minutes, which means 4 minutes after it stops. It's like, why are you mad at me? Why whatever? But the whole thing is this. You have to look at discipline as both positive and negative. Look at Genesis chapter 4. Was God trying to hurt Cain? I think he really loved Cain. I know God loved Cain. So notice this. But on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor, so Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. I love when the psalmist says, why so downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God. Cain didn't want to. The result was he was downcast. Then the Lord, verse 6, notice this. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? You know, one of the first questions I think we need to ask ourselves if we struggle with anger is why? Why am I angry? Quite often, anger is a response to fear. A fear of being controlled, a fear of not having control. It's a fear mechanism. And God is trying to help Cain, and it's, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? Notice this. You can't have a view of God as you mess up, it's over. You always have to look at it as faith, failure, and what's the third one? Forgiveness. Because notice this. If you do what is right, because right now, is he doing what's right? Nope. If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? Do you know, it's just so important that Cain was messed up. He was evil. He was a bad person. And God still offered him what? Forgiveness. He said to him, if you're willing to do what is right, you will be what? Accepted. That's so important. It's important in parenting that we say to our children, you did something wrong, but I love you. It's so important that we say to God, God, is this true? Are you saying I've messed up? Are you saying that I will be accepted? Yes. But if you do not do, notice this, and I need to stop here because it's the next point, but let's just leave the first one. If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? A true heart, a heart that truly wants to worship God, responds to God's discipline, both God's positive and negative. When God comes along and says, I've got to get you back on track, how do you respond? Cain didn't want to respond. Cain didn't want to do things God's way. He wanted to do things his way. And I think I've said enough about this because we need to go to the third one. And realize this, number three, worship from the heart actively desires. If you want God to work in your life, if you want to be responding to God and let God change you and move you, then this number three just follows right on the heels. Because part of responding to God's discipline is not getting angry, not getting downcast, not saying, well, if this is, you know, if I can't do it my way, then I don't want to do it anybody's way. But notice this, true worship from the heart actively desires two things. Holiness, in other words, becoming like Christ. It's not that, ooh, look at him. Holy, holy, holy. Holiness is Christ. It's becoming like Christ. Christ who loved the prostitutes. Christ who embraced the lepers. Christ who would give you anything. Not only the shirt off his back, he would give you the blood in his veins. That's Christ. That's what holiness is, to be like Christ. And spiritual victory, to get off that roller coaster of up and down, and really truly seek to actively embrace and desire spiritual victory. Cain doesn't want that. Notice this. You can call it lordship if you want, but notice this. Verse 7. If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But, here's the but. This is the opposite of actively desiring holiness and spiritual victory. Notice this. But, if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. 2 Peter chapter 5. This is, notice that sin is described as being like an animal. Sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. If you want, put down in your notes 2 Peter chapter 5, where it says that Satan is like a lion roaming around looking to devour. It's the same imagery here. If you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you. When Satan was in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, he desired to have them, to get them to do what he wanted. When Satan was messing with Judas, he desired to have Judas, that Judas might betray Christ. All through Scripture, it's very interesting, but sin and Satan are synonymous. Because when you do evil, you belong to the evil one, as we see in 1 John 3. But notice this, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. Does he desire holiness and spiritual victory? No, he doesn't. He's angry, he's downcast. He doesn't want to do it God's way, he wants to do it his way. And the result, verse 8, now Cain said to his brother Abel, let's go out to the field. And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Let's close off. The way of Cain from Jude 1 verse 11. I have some questions for you. The way of Cain. When you look at the life of Cain, when you look at what the New Testament says about Cain, I have four questions here. You need to ask yourself this. Number one, the way of Cain, do I try to fake it? There is a part of being a Christian in community where we need genuineness. In our men's ministry, the first stage of restoration, do you know what we call our first stage of restoration in our men's ministry? We call it welcome to the club. Confession, not condemnation. Now think about that. I mean, I walk up to Mike and I say, Mike, do you ever have hard days spiritually? Yep. Do you ever have struggles where you want to do what you want instead of what God wants? Okay. Do I offer condemnation? Nope. I offer, Mike, welcome to the club. Welcome to my world too. Thank you. It's so important that we have genuineness. Confession, not condemnation. Because as soon as we start to try to fake it, men, ladies, teens, doesn't matter. We need genuineness. And part of being in a body of Christ, part of accountability, is saying, hey, we're not perfect. Welcome to the club. Second, the way of Cain, do I resent God's barriers? Are you fighting God? Are you angry at God? Are you mad at God about something? Doesn't matter. Satan will use anything in your life. It's different for me than it is for you. He can use he can use things where I'll sit there and go, that's a problem? And yet for you, it's just ripping you apart spiritually. Satan will do whatever he can to get you to resent God's barriers. Adam and Eve, they could eat from how many trees? All of them. And Satan focused on the one tree. That's what he does. He gets you to focus on what you want instead of what God is providing. Question number three, the way of Cain. Do I ignore God's promptings? That's a big one. So many times God brings people into our lives to burst some bubbles. God brings situations into our life. It's how many times, if you're a married man, how many times have our wives made very subtle hints? And it's like, I don't have a problem with that. I don't need to work on that. And then number four, how many times do I try to face problems in my own strength? God personally arrived at the doorstep of Cain and said, Cain, listen, bud, you blew it, but I haven't written you off. You messed up, but I love you. And I want you to know that if you do what is right, you will be victorious, blessed, accepted, all of the above, all that. But when you try to do it in your own strength, and sometimes that comes because we're faking it. When you try to do it in your own strength, and sometimes that's because we're resenting God's barriers, and we don't want to do it God's way and His way, sometimes we ignore God's promptings because, again, we're living in our own strength. You need to say, God, give me the grace. That's what grace is all about. Grace is saying to God, I can't do this alone. I need your power. Grace is saying, God, I don't have the capacity to do this. I need your strength. Grace is saying, God, I can't do this, but I'm going to try, but I will need your forgiveness. That's what grace is all about. And so Cain, the farmer who murdered his brother, what do we learn? Worship from the heart. You need to be a person of faith. You need to be a person who desires God's discipline and responds to it. Whatever God is saying to you, do it. You need to be a person who actively desires holiness and spiritual victory. And so let's pray. Father, help us. Help us to see that we are just like Cain. Help us to see that sometimes we don't always do things for the right reason. We're not thinking of others, we're thinking of ourselves. Help us to realize that sometimes what we do is just, we just kind of go through motions. And it's not prompted through the Spirit. It's just stuff we do to make other people think we're okay. Father, there's, in some ways, there's a good side to this. Sometimes we come to church just bleeding inside. And we come and we need to be here. And we don't feel like being here. We didn't want to come here, but we needed to be here, and so we did it. And yet that's so different from faking it, where we simply say, I know it's not real. And I don't care. I just want to look good. Father, for anyone here this morning who has come and is just really hurting inside, may they realize that you love them and you offer acceptance. In the midst of failure, you offer forgiveness. And Lord, for us, help us to realize that we really need to examine ourselves. This idea of worship from the heart. Help us right now to listen to your voice. May we hear the whisper that says, you know that this area needs to be worked on. You know that you need to make some changes. You know you need to confess, apologize, seek forgiveness. You need accountability. You need a friend to simply listen. Father, whatever it is, help us to realize this. Work in us, Father. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.